I love when the song leader gets ambitious with the key change, because then whatever I do next is going to be less demanding. So thank you. My kids found out in the last couple of weeks that MapQuest was a thing. Do you remember MapQuest? Before you had Waze or Google Maps, and before you had a GPS that you hid in your console when you parked your car to get gas, nobody would steal it. Before those days, you had MapQuest. You printed out your directions before you traveled somewhere. Yeah, my kids just found out about that. And I was trying to explain that to them. And the question was, wasn't really a question, it's more of a statement. That must have been hard. And then I think it was Grayson who looked at me and said, did you have to like sit in the car with a map and read it? Yes, we did. It was my job at the ripe old age of like 8 to, probably until I moved out, to be the map reader in the car. And so if we got lost, that was on me. That was my job. And it was even harder when we didn't get to our destination before the sun went down, because I couldn't have the light on in the back of the car because then they can't see, right? So reading maps in the dark while you're on a road trip, yeah, that's not fun. Turns out, nobody likes it whenever Google Maps dies right in the middle of the road trip, and nobody likes it when MapQuest is wrong, or you forget the directions, leaving them on the kitchen table. Turns out, for all of history, it seems nobody has ever liked traveling without directions. I mean, unless that's your goal. If your goal is to just wander, good for you. But if you're like the other 99% of us, we'd like to know where we're going and how we're going to get there. Oh, sorry. Most of us move through life with at least some sense of where we're headed. Not perfect clarity, not a detailed map of every step, but enough to keep going. We make plans, we think ahead, we try to anticipate what comes next. We ask questions like, what's the plan? What do I do now? Where is this leading? Those questions aren't a problem. They're part of how we live responsibly in the world. It's just every day, this is what you do. We make decisions based on where we think things are going. We try to get from point A to point B. We weigh options. We consider outcomes. We try to choose the path that makes sense, or sometimes just the path of least resistance. Whether it's something big like a job or a move or some sort of family crisis or something smaller, it all still matters and also gets handled kind of the same way. We want to know that we're headed in the general right direction. We want some sense that the steps we're taking are going to lead somewhere. And in many ways, that's great. It helps us act with intention. It helps us take responsibility for our lives. It helps us to move forward instead of staying stuck. There's a kind of a quiet comfort and confidence that comes from believing that you know the way forward, even if you can't see every detail along the path. And underneath all of that is just this one simple assumption, that if we know the way, we can take the next step. If the path is clear enough, I can follow it. And if I can follow it, I can get where I'm supposed to go. And maybe this is all because we've been pre-programmed by the yellow brick road from childhood, that if you just stay on the path, you'll get where you're going. But I think it's so much older than that. The word of the Lord from John chapter 10, verses 1 through 10. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come back and take you there myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way to the place where I'm going. Thomas, the now preteen in the backseat of the car, who's looking at the map upside down, pipes up and says, Lord, we do not know where you're going. How can we know the way? You haven't told us the way. Where are we going? Jesus says to him, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. You can't get to the Father except through me. And if you know me, you know my Father also. So from now on, you do know him, and you have seen him. Philip, who's also sitting in the back seat of the car trying to read the map incorrectly, now pipes up on Thomas's behalf. Lord, just show us the Father, and we'll be satisfied. Just show me on the map where this is. Can you just reach back here and point? Because like I can't find it on the map. Show us the Father, and we'll be satisfied. And Jesus says to him, have I been with you all this time, Philip, and you still don't know me? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. But if you do not, then just believe because of the works themselves. Very truly, I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do. And in fact, will do greater works than these, because I am going to the Father. I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If in my name you ask me for anything, I will do it. And then I'm sure another disciple says, great, can you just point on the map? Show us this secret path. Show us how we get there. Thomas, it lets Peter off the hook for a change. Every so often, Thomas pipes up to give Peter a break. Thomas gets to voice something that disrupts all the assumptions. Lord, we don't know where you're going. How could we know the way you haven't told us? It's a legitimate question, is what that is. It's a simple question, but it cuts right to the heart of it. If the destination is unclear, then the path is unclear. If we don't know where this is headed, how are we supposed to follow? That's the car they're all in. That's the road trip they're all on. Jesus has just told them that he is going away. Something is about to change, that the future they thought they understood is no longer certain. They have been rerouted to a new destination. The direction they thought they were moving in has shifted, and now they're left without a clear sense of what comes next. They had printed out the MapQuest directions, they had studied them, they had remembered the construction zones, they had got it all straight in their head and found out now they're going to go east instead of west. And it's just chaos. There's nothing wrong with the question. It's exactly the question any of us would have asked. When things become uncertain, when the path isn't clear, when the future feels open in ways that we don't anticipate, we always want direction. We want clarity. We want to know how to move forward. Which is the greatest irony here, isn't it? Because all of us are terrible at following directions when they're not our idea. But when we want directions, suddenly we crave them. If Jesus had told them the way to go, they probably would have argued with him on it. But because he didn't tell them, they want directions. And what's striking is that Jesus doesn't answer the question the way they expected. He doesn't give them a plan. He doesn't give them steps. He doesn't tell them when to turn right and when to turn left and for 500 meters arrive at your destination. He doesn't give them the map that they can follow. He points out the question is about the way. Instead of explaining it, he just reframes the entire thing. They ask for directions, and he says, I am the directions. I am the way. If you want to know how to get there, it's me. I get you there. They're looking for which roads to walk on, and he says, it's not about which roads you take. You just travel with me, and you're going to get there. He doesn't say that he'll show them the way. It's not, let me show you. There's no follow the leader here. There's no here is the way. Instead, it's this very not so helpful for Thomas and Philip, ambiguous, I am the way. It's like you're sitting in the back seat with an atlas, and your dad says, we're changing directions and we're going to go somewhere else, and he's driving the car, and you say, where? Show me on the map where we're headed so I can figure this out. And he says, no, I am the car. I am the car. You have me. I am the car. And even at your ripe old age of, I don't know, 8, you now have 2 options. You can tell him you're not a car, or you can say that's not right, or you can hope your sibling who's older pipes in and says, no, really, can you just point? You can be the car, just point on the map for us. This doesn't make sense. You have read this story for too long, and you have conditioned yourself to think that when Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, that this makes sense. It doesn't make sense. Stop trying to make it make sense. Accept the fact that this is nonsensical. That's your only way forward on this road trip. They're asking for a direction, and Jesus says, I am the car. They're asking for clarity, and Jesus says, just stick with me, and we're going to get through this. The answer to their question is not more information. It's a relationship. The risen Christ is not found in having a path clearly laid out. It's in trusting the one who is present with you all the time. So if we're really going to drive this metaphor into the ground, your dad has just told you, where we're going, we don't need maps. I am the map. I'm not going to get us lost. And you've been around the block enough times to know that that has not panned out for you before. That doesn't mean the question disappears when Jesus says, I am the way. It does mean that the answer is different than what you expected. So Philip presses further. Lord, just show us the Father, and we'll be satisfied. Just show it. Show us the destination. It's the same instinct in a different form. Give us something clear, something that makes sense, something visible, something, give me something tangible I can hold on to. And Jesus responds, I've been with you all this time, and yet you still don't know me? The answer they're looking for isn't somewhere else. It isn't further down the road. It's not hidden behind another layer of explanation. It's sitting right in front of them. It's already with them. Philip says, show me the Father. And Jesus says, you're looking at it. Don't you see? The issue isn't that they've been given too little. They just haven't yet recognized what they've been given. The way is not a path laid out ahead of them. There's no yellow brick road to this faith business. The way forward to the Father is with the one who is already standing with you. We still carry that same instinct when something is uncertain. We crave direction. We want to know what comes next. We want enough clarity to move forward with confidence. We want to be able to say, yep, this is the right path. I know where it leads. And sometimes we get that. But I imagine if we all collectively started counting on our fingers and toes how many times it's actually worked out for us, it's a pretty relatively small number. Oftentimes we don't get that. There are just seasons in your life when the next step is not obvious, where decisions don't come with certainty, where none of the options feel clear. There are moments when we don't know how things are going to turn out, or even what the right path is supposed to be. So we look deeper. We replay the options. We make pro and con lists on yellow steno pads. We try to think through from every angle. We look for signs, for confirmation, for something that will finally make it clear enough to act. Because we assume that once we can know the right direction, we can move the right direction. But what Jesus offers is something different. He doesn't promise that the path will always be clear. He doesn't promise that you will always know where things are headed. What he offers is himself. He offers his presence in the middle of that uncertainty. Jesus looks back from the front seat of the car at Philip and Thomas and says, it doesn't matter which way we go. As long as you're with me, we're going to get where we're going. And they don't find it comforting, because Jesus turns around and looks at you while you're trying to sort out your life and says, hey, as long as we go together, whichever way we go, it's going to be fine. That's not what you were looking for. But sometimes you get what you need. which means that we are not without direction, even when we feel like we don't have a map. We just need to change the question. Instead of asking, do I have enough clarity to move forward, we begin to ask, am I willing to trust the one who's with me here and just step out anyway? Not because everything is certain, not because the outcome is guaranteed, but because you know that as long as he's with you, whichever way you go, you're going to get to going wherever you need to go. Abraham left his father's homeland and had no clue which way he was going. This story is not a hypothetical. This moment is the story of Abraham leaving his father's home. And if you remember the story, Abraham packs his bags, and Sarah looks at him and says, where are we headed? And he says, I don't know. That way looks great. And they go. I have a friend named Tim. Tim, a long time ago, and his wife had just graduated from getting their 2/20th degree. I think it was at least a second PhD for them collectively and not their last ones. And so they were perpetual grad students at this point, and they needed a different direction in life. They got kicked out of their university. There was nothing else for them there. They had to go somewhere. The problem was neither one of them had a job. They packed up the U-Haul, and it was moving day, and they got into the truck, and Laura looked at Tim and says, where are we going? And Tim says, I don't know. And his phone rang, and a church that he had not applied to work at as a minister called him and says, hey, we got your name from somebody else that said you'd be a good fit for our church. Do you want to come work here? And he says, funny story, we can be there in like 8 hours. And they left. And all of you think, that is insane. It's crazy. Nobody does that. Turns out people do that. That really is an option. It's not how we do things. We keep looking. We replay all the options. We try to think through every angle. It just comes down to a point sometimes, though, where you have to strike out in any direction and hope that he stays with you no matter where you're headed. You're not without direction, even when you don't have the map. We just need to be willing to trust the one who is here with us, whichever way we go. That doesn't make the decisions easy. It doesn't remove the tension. It doesn't suddenly resolve every question. It just means that we're not navigating those moments alone. It doesn't mean that every direction you head is the right one either. Sometimes you will go the wrong way and have to turn around. But at least you're in good company. The way is not something that we're trying to locate out ahead of us. The way is someone who is already road tripping with us. Which means the question is not simply which one is the right path. The question is, am I willing to walk with him even when I can't see where we're going? Because you may not have the path clearly laid out in front of you, but you are not without direction. The way is not something you find. It is someone who is with you. And that kind of trust doesn't usually show up all at once. It shows up in small, ordinary steps. When we choose to move forward, even when we don't have every answer. When we stay faithful in a moment that feels uncertain. When we take the next step that's in front of us, not because you've mapped out the whole path, but because you trust the one who is with you in it. It doesn't feel dramatic. It often doesn't feel especially confident, but it is real. And over time, it becomes a different way of living, less driven by the need to control the future and more shaped by the presence of Christ in the presence, in this moment, in this here, in this now. Ultimately, I think this requires us from being destination-focused and more journey-oriented. Journey before destination, if you will. He has this different way of traveling than the rest of us. Doesn't make plans like the rest of us. And if we can begin to live that way, something changes. The path may still be unclear, the future may still be open, but you are no longer waiting for clarity in order to move. You were already moving, already walking, already being led, not because you figured it out, but because you're just not alone. Because the way is not something out ahead of you that you have to find. The way is already with you, guiding you, holding you, leading you into the life that he has promised. The disciples wanted to know how to get from point A to point B, to where Jesus was going. They wanted direction. They wanted clarity. They wanted something that they could follow. And instead of giving them a plan, Jesus gave them himself. And that's what we've been given here. In a few moments, we'll come to this table, not because we've got the next 5, 10, 15 years mapped out. If you do, good for you. Don't tell anybody else because we're going to resent you for it. Not because you resolved every question, not because you know where your lives are all headed, not because you have certainty about how things are going to turn out, but just because you've been invited to be with the one who is the way. We come to this table not with a map, but with open hands. And here at this table, we are given not answers, but presence. We're given Christ. Here, the way is not explained, but it is present. Here, we are met and fed and led into the life that he promised. And here at this table, we are reminded that wherever this path is going to lead, we do not walk it alone. Let's stand and sing.